The GDP data has come out for the full year FY22-23 and also for the fourth quarter of the year. Now, it's actually pretty good news. The data is showing that growth has been faster than the government had earlier estimated. Now, does this mean that the Indian economy has fully recovered from the pandemic and from the stresses that the Ukraine-Russia war had put? That's what we're going to discuss in this episode of Macro Sutra. I'm TCA Sharad Raghavan, and we have with us Radhika Pandey, an associate professor at NIPFP. Thank you so much, Radhika, for joining us. So now, Radhika, when we talk about the GDP numbers being a surprise, what are we comparing it to when we say that it's been a surprise? What was the initial estimate and what has it come out to be now?
So there are two levels of surprise, one at the quarterly level and one at the annual level.
Right.
As you rightly pointed out, we have two releases for the quarter, Jan to March quarter, and for the full financial year. Because this is the fourth quarter, there was already an implied growth that was estimated for this quarter.
Right.
Given that we had the annual estimate, which was the second advance estimate at 7%, and then we had the three quarters growth numbers, so we could estimate what will be the growth rate in the fourth quarter.
Right.
So that was that is called the implied growth in the fourth quarter, because we have the annual numbers and we have the three quarter numbers. So according to that, the implied growth was 5.1%. But it came out to be 6.1%. So that is a surprise. That is on the quarterly level.
Right.
And on the annual level, the second advance estimate, the first advance estimate, pegged the growth rate for the full financial year at 7%.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at the provisional estimates that came out yesterday, the growth rate is estimated at 7.2%.
Right.
So again, there is an upward revision to growth, both at the quarterly level and at the annual level.
And for the annual level, it would naturally be because the quarterly number was larger.
Yes, yes. Because of the uplift given by the fourth quarter, we saw that the annual numbers also got a boost in the the full financial year.
Okay, so now let's break down the economy into its various components, various sectors, how they did annually, how they did over the quarters. Let's start with manufacturing. A lot of people have been concerned about manufacturing because the previous two quarters were in negative.
Right.
The sector actually contracted.
Mm-hmm.
But now in the fourth quarter, it's done decently well. And I mean, it's pulled up the year's growth to a low level, but at least it's in positive.
Yes. So again, looking at the quarter, manufacturing sector posted a growth of 4.5% from two consecutive quarters of contraction.
Right.
And one of the main reasons for revival in the manufacturing sector is the easing of commodity prices, because that is what we've been seeing, that because of the high commodity prices and very high, high input cost pressure, the margins of manufacturing sector firms were impacted.
Right.
So now that is something that has eased over the last quarter because of the easing commodity prices. So that is reflected in the manufacturing sector's performance that we've seen in the fourth quarter. Another very important point to note here is that wholesale price index, which is the number which is used to deflate the nominal numbers into real, that has turned negative. Again, because of international prices being eased, because of moderation in commodity prices, WPI has turned into deflation.
Right.
And therefore, when we convert nominal into real, the real looks bigger. So that is a kind of statistical boost also, which is given to the manufacturing sector due to easing of commodity prices, and that getting reflected in the deflator, which is used to deflate nominal into real, that turning negative and giving a boost to the real sector.
Right. And we'll get to the outlook, the future outlook, in just a bit. But let's get to what looks like quite a superstar sector, which is agriculture.
Yeah.
I mean, the sector has been growing strongly over the year. I mean, not only over the year, but each quarter in the year has been faster than the previous one.
Yes. So even during pandemic, if we remember, this is this one sector that held up growth. And again, if we talk in terms of the fourth quarter, the growth came out at an impressive 5.5%.
Right.
For the full year also, as compared to the second advance estimate, we are getting a growth of 4%.
Mm-hmm.
Second advance estimate pegged it at 3.5%. So it's mainly because of robust performance of Rabi output. Rabi crops have performed. The output has been good, robust, as per the third estimates of the agricultural output. So, belying fears of unseasonal rains, because there was this concern that because of unseasonal rains in February and March, there could be an impact on agricultural output. But that was not to be. And we have seen that agricultural sector has performed well. And that is the reason both in the annual as well as in the quarterly numbers, we see a good growth.
So then what actually is driving the sector? I mean, if unseasonal rains is not slowing it down and, you know, other factors, I mean, fertilizer availability is there, all of that is happening. So, I mean, what is helping the sector grow faster each quarter?
So, see, if we... In the rural sector, there is agri and non-agriculture. Mm-hmm. Now, agriculture sector has been doing well because if you see, procurement has been good this time, last year, as compared to the previous year, the procurement has been good. That has given some impetus to farm income.
Right.
Slowly, again, farm income, not overall rural income. We are talking in terms of farm income. So, that is resulting in improved performance. The water level at the reservoirs are good. That has also resulted in improved agriculture. Cultural performance. So, all in all, farm sector is looking good in terms of the various kind of policy push that has been provided in terms of fertilizer subsidy, procurement, raising of the minimum support prices, and so on. So, while the farm sector is doing well, so we do see a dichotomy between farm and non-farm sector.
Right.
And that is why overall rural consumption is not performing too well.
Yeah. Now, we come to the services sector. Now, since the pandemic has been abating and these contact intensive sectors have been opening up, the services sector actually has been seeing quite a recovery, a very strong recovery. Even our services exports have been doing quite well. Has that carried over now in the fourth quarter, and is it showing itself in the data?
Yes. So, again, in the quarterly numbers as well as in the annual numbers, we see services sector continue to perform well. And within services sector, one you mentioned is the trade, transport, hotel, communication. The other component is the finance and the real estate.
Yes.
Finance, insurance and real estate. Now, this sector has outperformed the estimates. What were estimated in the second advance estimate, it's done better than that. Reflecting good performance of the real estate sector. We are seeing housing demand picking up, the inventories of real estate going down.
Right.
So that is also showing up in the finance and insurance sector performance. So if we see the GVA, gross value added of finance services, it has performed very well as compared to what was earlier estimated due to real estate and also due to banks. Banking balance sheets have been good.
Right.
If we look at the quarterly numbers of public sector banks, private sector banks, they have done well. Net interest margins have been doing well. So that is also getting reflected. So it's not just the trade, hotel, transport element of services, but also the finance insurance services, which have surpassed their earlier estimates.
That's actually very heartening to hear. And similarly, there's another sector which is a huge employer. I mean, I think it might be the second largest employer outside of agriculture, which is construction.
Yes.
And it's been growing in double digits.
Yeah. And that's primarily due to the CAPEX push that is given by the government that is really helping in giving a boost to construction. And we saw 10% plus growth in construction sector in the quarter four. And that's very good because it helps in absorbing the rural population, those who are not employed in agriculture. So it bodes well for the employment outlook of the economy if construction sector is doing well.
So now you mentioned the CAPEX push. Now overall investment, what is the data showing? Is private and public sector investment now growing together, or is it still government led?
So in the GDP number, right now, what we have is gross fixed capital formation.
Right.
And there, it's very hard to disentangle between government and private investment.
Right.
The breakup comes only after 2 years. So, we will know the actual position only after 2 years. But what we can do is link the various pieces of high frequency indicators to see what's happening. It's mainly driven by government capex, because if you see the March quarter government, central government's capital expenditure from the CGA numbers, the numbers which come out as part of the fiscal deficit,
right,
it showed a very impressive jump in capex in the March quarter. So 2.46 trillion rupees of capex was done only in the quarter ended March for central government. It always happens that, you know, in the fourth quarter, whatever, you know, the expenditure picking up happens in the fourth quarter. First quarter is generally very slow in on fiscal front. So we saw that central government expenditure is doing, capex is doing well. And if we just link it to some of the private sector investments,
right,
the best measure of which is the CMI capex project database, which gives us information about the new projects and also the projects under implementation.
Okay.
Now, if we look at the stock of projects in the private sector under implementation, just to understand the state of private sector investment, we see a big jump happening in the March quarter. So 55 trillion worth rupees of private sector projects are under implementation in the March quarter.
Okay.
From 2011 onwards, we were seeing a slide in the stock of private sector under implementation, the Great Indian Investment Slowdown that we talk about.
Right.
So that's very much visible in the data. But from 2020, we are seeing a gradual pickup. But that even that increase, the pickup has gained momentum in 2023, this Jan to March quarter.
Fantastic.
So this gives us hope that if this is sustained, it will help in generating multiplier impact on consumption and employment generation.
Right.
So that is something that needs to be seen.
Mm.
That is this a one-off thing or is this sustained? Because we do see a pickup in stock of private projects under implementation. It just needs to be seen that this pickup is sustained, that it leads to second round impact in terms of consumption and employment generation.
Right, and that actually very neatly brings us to the question on what the future outlook is. Now, on manufacturing, there's a whole bunch of global headwinds.
Right.
On agriculture, we've got fears over a possible impact by the El Nino, which might make the coming monsoon a weaker one. The services sector also might be impacted again because of the global headwinds.
Right.
But it's looking like the private sector might be picking up its investments.
Right.
So what is our outlook?
So see, that you've pointed out all the upside and downside risks, but one of the thing is the inflation trajectory that is needs to be seen because you know, one of the concern that still persists is on consumption. So if
right.
you look at the fourth quarter numbers, the private consumption or the proxy for household consumption is still growing at a muted pace of 2.8%.
Which is just you and I and all of us, we are not spending money.
That is what the data shows. And now there are a lot of puzzles around this.
Mm-hmm.
That is this because if it doesn't tie very well with the services sector, because if service sector are doing well, people are traveling a lot, there's a lot of spending on trade, hotel, transport.
Right.
So then why is consumption muted? So there comes this question of uneven recovery in consumption,
mm-hmm.
the kind of K-shaped recovery that people talk
yeah.
about, that maybe some section of population or the urban demand is holding up, but not the non-farm rural demand. So that is something that is causing this divergence and that is causing this muted growth in consumption. And maybe in the coming quarters, we should see a pickup because the volumes of FMCG firms, the fast-moving mm-hmm. consumer goods firm, they are reporting an improvement in the sales. So
right.
that should, and it takes time to show up in the GDP data. So maybe in the April to June quarter, we should see some improvement in the consumption numbers. So that's very important from the point of view of inflation, because inflation, the rural demand is more sensitive to inflation.
Yes, of course.
So if it's very critical for inflation to remain low and stable to ensure that there is a sustained pickup in consumption. The other is, of course, the global headwind that we are talking about, mm-hmm. the impact on exports. There's downstream impact on employment and further on consumption. Monetary tightening, how much?
Right.
Because EMIs have already risen. So now if the RBI maintains status quo, That would be a positive feature. If the RBI does not raise rates further, that will be good for household consumption demand. So these are some of the factors. Of course, you mentioned about El Nino that will play out in the coming months. We need to see how it shows up in food prices and again on consumption. So these are the host of factors which could, which will determine the growth trajectory.
And of course, there was one point that you had mentioned, which is that the government push for capex is boosting the construction sector, which is then helping the rural sector as well, the non-farm rural sector. So if that also continues, then that should
help. That continues and that crowds in private sector investment, because what we are also seeing is that private sector is also investing in those sectors where government is investing. So we are seeing cement, steel, all these sectors picking up. So if that crowding in continues, that will again give a boost to growth. And we know the multiplier impact private sector investment can also then generate implications for employment and consumption. So that's very important. And also critically, the states also need to boost their capex, not just the central government. The states also need to boost their capex. And if we see the latest numbers, we have seen some of the states picking up their capital expenditure. Like Uttar Pradesh, particularly, we do monitor. They have picked up their capital expenditure in the recent months. So all these are very positive developments because of continuous pushing by central government and giving some incentives to states to incentivize capex. We are seeing improvement there also.
So now, because the data that has come out has been so surprising, there have naturally been quite a few questions from the audience. So I'll get to those. One you already mentioned, which is, will this stronger growth maybe convince the RBI to not increase the repo rate once more?
That will be dependent on the inflation outlook. And we are seeing inflation moderating. In May also, inflation will come down. And then we have to see the impact of the various shocks on inflation, what happens to the various shocks on inflation. And if there are no such unanticipated shocks, then we should see a easing of inflation, and that should allow RBI to keep a status quo on rates or even think of cutting rates going forward rather than raising rates. So,
but this time around, it's unlikely they'll cut.
Yeah, it's unlikely that they will cut. The best thing would be to maintain a status quo and wait for how these shocks that people are talking about, how these shocks will play out. And because growth is holding up, you know, if growth would have been subdued, that would have been a reason for cutting rates to stimulate growth.
Yes.
But growth is strong. So that doesn't give a reason for the RBI to think of cutting rates at this point in time.
And now another question is that we've talked about the outlook. But in just the very short term, say the first quarter of the new financial year, the quarter that we are in right now, do you think that growth will be able to sustain at this level?
See, one thing we need to know is that, you know, April to June quarter is always, it shows a blip. Mm. If we look at all the, across the years, if we see the performance of April to June quarter, it's always, you know, there's seasonal factor that play. And generally, the first quarter is slow on revenues and spending side. So that is also one thing to note. But keeping aside those seasonality factors, if the thing that we talked about, the points that we talk about continue, if manufacturing sector revival continues, which is likely to be seen, because if we look at the high frequency indicators for April and May, they have done so well for manufacturing. The purchasing managers index is again very strong.
The highest since October 2020.
Yes. Services PMI is doing so well. And that is an indication of strong orders. So it's showing that demand is reviving. So if we see these kind of factors, then definitely this growth momentum should be sustained in the coming quarters.
Right. And now this question we have answered, but maybe we can kind of encapsulate the answer once more for you. But it is that the manufacturing sector has done very well in the face of a lot of global headwinds.
Right.
What are the reasons for this good performance?
So we talked about main reason is the easing of commodity prices. Right. The precise reason which led to contraction in manufacturing in the previous quarters, because the firms were impacted, their profit margins were hit because of high cost pressures. And that is now seen to be easing. That's a very important factor. Now here, one important thing to remember is the difference between value and volume. Right now, so whatever boost we are seeing is mainly due to value, is mainly due to the fact that a cost component has come down. It also needs to be seen whether it translates into higher sales volumes. So if that happens, then we can very confidently and definitely say that manufacturing sector will perform well, and the momentum that we are seeing in this quarter will be sustained in the coming quarters. Because right now, the boost that has been given to manufacturing sector is mainly due to reduction of prices, which has resulted in cost cutting.
So I see. So then what you're talking about is an increase in profits because costs have come down.
Yes, but not because sales have risen.
We don't know whether sales have risen or have they not.
We talked about earlier that sales are not very high. So they are around 9 to 10%. Normalization is happening. We need to see whether sales also pick up in the coming quarters. So that needs to be seen, and that will again depend on demand conditions. So it's a circuitous move that we need to see.
How interesting. And now when it comes to the comparison with the second advanced estimates, which were the particular sectors, and this is the question again from the audience, what surprised, because the government would have had some assumptions when it made its estimates. So what emerged as a surprise? What turned out differently?
From the annual side, what turned out as a major surprise is the net exports. So one is the surprise on the quarterly front. There it's mainly manufacturing, agriculture, construction. But when we look at the annual numbers, it's not all the other, the assumptions seem to be well on track. Be it in terms of consumption, investment, and so on. What has surprised on the upside is the net exports. So exports have risen more than what was anticipated during the second advance estimates. So it mainly shows that services exports have done well. That has given a boost to net exports, and therefore it has contributed to improvement in GDP, the provisional estimate. So in the annual numbers, the one thing from this expenditure side that has given a boost is the exports. While it was anticipated that exports will slow down and net exports could be a drag, that is not to be seen in the annual numbers as of now. So that is a very interesting thing that is visible in the data.
Right. And now our final question is that we have talked about how the agriculture sector has been a bright spot for so long. So the question is, why is India not making its agriculture sector strong like Vietnam's and making it a big driving force in our economic growth? Why is agriculture looked down upon?
So I don't see, because agriculture is given a lot of policy priority.
Absolutely.
If we look at over the last 2-3 years, starting from pandemic, we have seen, look at the kind of fertilizer subsidies, whenever fertilizer prices have risen, subsidies have been given, minimum support prices have been increased to support farm income. So I don't see that the farm sector is looked down upon, and that is, in fact, that is the reason why the farm sector has done well also, because of all the kind of policy support that has been provided to the agriculture sector. The point here is that beyond a point, we need to have migration from agri to manufacturing sector, from low-skilled to high-skilled, from agri to services to some extent. So that is the reason that we talk about, you know, manufacturing sector revival in order to generate highly skilled jobs. But that is not to say that agriculture sector is to be looked down upon, because it is one of the major sectors, and it is one of the sectors that have held growth even at a time when all other sectors were languishing during the pandemic time.
So there you go. Now, what the data is showing us is that our economy is sitting right now in somewhat of a sweet spot, where our growth numbers, both annually and even for the latest, the fourth quarter, have been looking strong. A lot of sectors unexpectedly did better than they were, you know, predicted to do, like manufacturing. Agriculture has always been a strong sector. It's been doing well. Services has been doing well. Construction has been helped along a lot by the government investment. And all of this has been helped out by the fact that global commodity prices are down. But there are headwinds. The global economy is not looking great. For example, Germany has entered into a recession, and the other major economies are also not looking particularly strong. And at the same time, there's this looming thing of whether there'll be an El Nino effect on the monsoon, the upcoming monsoon, and that might impact our agricultural growth. So we're sitting in a strong position right now, but we can't get complacent. There are problems on the horizon and we need to keep our eye on the ball. That's what the data and all the analysis is saying. And so that's all we have for you in this episode of Macro Sutra. But before you go, I have an appeal to make, which is please subscribe to The Print. The link is in the description of this video. It's through your subscriptions that we're allowed to do the kind of analysis that we have been bringing for you, the kind of ground reporting that we've been able to do. One example I can give you is our Manipur coverage. We've consistently been sending people to Manipur to bring you stories from the ground, what's been happening over there. Same with the wrestlers' protests. You should please look at our coverage of the wrestlers' protests. But to do all of this requires time, effort, and money. And that's where your subscription comes in and helps us. It allows us to do all of this work. But apart from that, it also gets you several benefits, such as you get priority passes to very, you know, exclusive webinars that we do and on-ground events. You can write in for us in our Your Turn section, and you get access to our special newsletters that are written by our editors that come straight to your mailboxes on a daily basis. And there's one that comes every week. So please do subscribe and help us. The link is in the description of the video. Thank you so much for watching.